gun. You can't fight in here. This is the war room.
It's a freaking joke.
Could I make one point?
With the fate of human dignity in our hands.
Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
Oh, what's in the box?
The Brian Suits Show.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. Never mind the zebras. We got a...
Early one morning while making the
round. We got a desperado.
I took a shot of cocaine and I shot my woman down. I went right home and I went to bed. I stuck that loving 44 beneath my head.
I've always wondered, if you're the warden of Folsom State Prison, aren't you going to pull the plug?
Don't encourage them.
When he's talking about taking a shot of cocaine and murdering his woman?
It's Man in Black Monday.
Still. What a great song, even in front of prisoners.
What a great artist.
Well, because there was a desperado is out of... Monroe and used a employee's vehicle, a personal vehicle to do it. We'll get to that. And never mind that. There's zebras all over North Bend.
Right to jail.
Yeah, for all of them. For all.
Lock them up.
I don't get how this happened.
Lock them up. Lock them up.
Off I-90. I don't care. How are there zebras on one of America's major interstate highways? From Boston to Seattle, and what, no, but the zebras threatened them? Put your phones away, we're not escaping?
Well, they can make their way over that nature bridge near Clay Elum now. That's built, tailor-made just for those zebras.
I know, yeah. So anyway, we'll dig into that. And why people think it's a big deal, I don't know. But the Democrats are in a panic about college campuses. And like, who cares? I mean, in reality, who cares? Well, there is a throwback to 1968, and that's part of how Nixon won in 1968. It was because the college campuses, which back then, they were orderly. And so it was jarring for seeing all the disarray. And it's been featuring in Bill Maher's monologues.
Maybe the question that today's protester needs to ask themselves more than any other is, why do I care so much about this particular cause? North Korea starves its people. China puts them in concentration camps. Myanmar brutalizes the Rohingya. Boko Haram kidnaps whole villages of women. The president of Burundi says gays should be stoned to death because they, quote, deserve it. Nothing? Ukraine? Maybe if these Google employees had the slightest idea what kind of fundamentalist oppressive they're supporting, Hamas, the Houthis, Hezbollah, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, they might take it a little easier on the world's greatest monster, Genocide Joe.
So anyway, he goes on, it's brilliant, but... Yeah, what a weekend for silliness! Because everybody that these punks at Columbia are supporting would kill them.
Where's this hero when we need him?
Who's got the power?
Hey, this is library.
That guy, I love that guy.
Can he make his face known at college campuses?
Channel 5, when they ran that story, it got national juice. They never identified the guy. Never pulled him over. For a heart-to-heart man on the street interview.
This is library.
This is my favorite guy. He can stay here only once. He can overstay his visa or whatever. If he's here legally, he's a citizen. Good for him. We're a better country for it. As opposed to, all right, so you'll have, I think, about 30 seconds to name that hippie, Greg. All right,
Can't wait. Are
you ready?
This is my favorite game.
I'd like to think that what the students feel about the university is important enough that maybe we could bring this university to a halt and really reorder its priorities. But at the moment, it doesn't seem that this is possible at all. We may halt classes for a few days. We may even halt it for a spring. But ultimately, we don't change the foundation of this university, which is essentially an enormous business corporation.
But she had all the notes, didn't she? Okay.
These hippie weirdos.
So here's what you must know about that clip.
Uh-huh.
That's from 1968.
Wow, what's old is new.
So it's going to be like flower or daffodil or something. Whatever. That's back when people could just name themselves with, you know, whatever they dosed acid on. Or is it
Jane Fonda or something?
No, it's of course, it's a woman with a bouffant hairdo in 1968 in Manhattan talking about the corporationness of the university, like a corporation.
Essentially, an enormous business corporation.
Business corporations and stuff and all that.
Listen what the flower people say.
About Spinal Tap, if you know the songs and you know the joke, you have to go, you have to be part of that. But anyway, so they keep acting like they care or that it's gonna matter. But that is, and this is where, on Fox, it's like crack to see some of these idiots saying idiot stuff, and they will go up to a Fox camera and really turn up the idiocy. And it's, I mean, I understand, you know, you're getting viewers, you leave it on. MSNBC, now, no one, they don't know what to do. They're losing voting Democrats. And behind the scenes, folks, here's a heads up. When's the Democratic convention is in July, right? In Chicago?
August,
okay. Well, your training year in the Army National Guard, such as your Illinois Army National Guard, your training year is set in stone back in November. Okay. Well, we're now at the end of April 2024, and all training is off. There's a couple of units that are gearing up to go overseas to places where we're not, like Hasaka, Syria, and all that. And that's going to get yanked because they're all training for the civil unrest that they're penciling in for August. At this point, you plan for the worst, hoping, because anything else is just a pleasant surprise, right? Well, because of chat groups on Reddit and other high-tech things that these darn kids are doing, they know that from years of experience, George Floyd, Portland, BLM, the whole thing, they know that they are really well organized. And the Antifa punks from Atlanta to Portland are scheduling vans and bus trips and all that. They want to tear Chicago down. And so the Biden administration wants to make sure there's civil order and the whole thing. But they don't want it to be oppressive, like 1968 in Chicago. So they want to overwhelm every street corner with National Guard, which means you got to get ready for them to go on active duty, maybe in July. And there can be no question that there's not going to be disarray at this DNC this year. Biden has decreed that. Then they all have, because they understand this looks like 1968. This looks like LBJ, because Nixon made a joke once that LBJ couldn't speak publicly unless it was at a military base. Like in 1968, he said that, and LBJ acknowledged that no one likes me. And that's why he didn't run for re-election. That's why he said, I will not be, nor will I accept my party's nomination. He had never been that unpopular. He made his bones in Texas and in the House of Representatives as a big, tall guy that would loom over you. And everyone just liked LBJ. They liked being in the room with him. He was an affable guy and all that. Then he becomes president, and he just becomes a jackass because these hippies are protesting his war that was most definitely LBJ's war by then. And the coup de grace was the DNC, the Chicago convention, because at the time, the mayor, Richard Daley, you hippies were not going to do that crap in his town. And that was, he didn't coordinate with the Democratic Party about how that's going to look. But it looked like as they called it, a police riot. Of course, back then, you only got your news once a day at 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. from Walter Cronkite or the other guys. And by 6 p.m., by 3 p.m. on the East Coast, they had everything they needed to edit together. It was a disaster. And it was a traumatic disaster for them, because the thinking was, well, we had a sure thing to get reelected, JFK's vice president, and then he goes ahead and doesn't run. I mean, what the heck? What the what here? And so anyway, there's a disaster looming in July, and the White House is trying to avoid it by getting lawful authority in place in time. Now, the White House doesn't call up the Illinois National Guard. The most probably under the radar, most liberal Democratic governor in the country, J.D. Pritzker, is the governor of Illinois. He needs the money. He'll get the money, but he will call up his state National Guard for civil unrest duty. It'll be that. They'll be equipped for that and trained for that, but they won't call it that. It'll be civil support, you know, or something. And every off-duty cop in Illinois will be there because the other side, Antifa, et cetera, has decided that from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free and you're going to pay for it. The whole thing. And, you know, this is all in the morning montage. What am I doing?
Burying the lead.
Yeah.
Are accusing Chief Adrian Diaz and a top lieutenant of sexual harassment and discrimination.
Zebras on the loose in North Bend.
Or bigotry for all Jewish students, whether they are pro-genocide.
This university, which is essentially an enormous business corporation.
Now the mayor of that city is blaming the King County Sheriff for not acting to remove this encampment.
Oh, there you go. And as predicted, I had a stellar weekend, by the way.
Excellent. Even though there was chubby rain that abounded.
That was the deal. And I mean, this morning, did you drive through that this morning?
Very wet. Yeah.
Crazy. We did have to put off the inaugural matches of the Four Corners Wiffle Ball Classic.
Rain delay.
Yeah. You can't mow. If it rains, you can't mow. If you can't mow, you can't play wiffle ball.
I was surprised my two sons' Pony League baseball games were not canceled, but they had coaches out there like an hour before game time raking up dirt.
Are they in turf?
Getting rid of
grass?
Standing water. No, it was wet, but it didn't quite get muddy. So enjoyed a couple Little League games.
The other aspects of my weekend went absolutely according to plan, and so therefore I'm very happy.
Here too before.
Harvey Weinstein's he got the news that he's going to be released, and he promptly went to the hospital. We'll get to that. China.
Here too before.
China is going to steal Tesla's technology, and at least Elon Musk knows that.
So there's that.
And also, by the way, the story about Delta canceling routes, okay, it's not my job to defend Chief Diaz or Chief 737 Max, but not everything is Boeing's fault, okay? But non-delivery of product, well, that's squarely on them. But the fact that Delta is canceling routes is not, Delta even said, it's not going to, we don't have the planes for that, because Delta canceling the LA to London route is a big headline, except for this part. It's an Airbus. They fly an Airbus from LA to London. They're canceling a route that's serviced by an Airbus. Okay, not because of the Airbus. So just know that. And then here's a weird. Let's see. Should I do it now or yeah? I'll do it now. So here's a weird little fun fact. For those of you who maybe saw Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, what was the number one movie that smutty Challenger movie with Zendaya or whatever?
Over this weekend?
Well, yeah, whoever she is, she's a person not of my concern.
Challengers was number one.
Yeah, that's her movie. It's about tennis, but they find a way to make it, well, apparently the most saucy movie without a change of rating or whatever. Well, so here's this. In other sports, here's a former heavyweight champion of the world of boxing. Yes, you are correct. That's Vitali Klitschko, the largest human being of all time. And here's a problem with sharing information with a country that is literally begging for more help and the whole deal. That's him in Ukrainian explaining why he's standing in front of a children's hospital in Kyiv on Saturday morning. because he's proudly announcing that he's evacuating it. Now, all the kids are on stretchers. They've got IVs. They're being evacuated. They've got ambulances lined up, and he's evacuating the hospital. He's doing it on Telegram, and he's doing it because he's been informed that the Children's Hospital, knowing full well that the entire point of firing unmanned cruise missiles and drones at Kyiv is to hit the most horrible target you can. So the attack on the Children's Hospital, he was informed, would be that night's target. Well, okay, here's the two-sided coin on that one. The double-edged sword, if you will. This is the Churchill dilemma. I mean, it played out. It's crazy. 84 years since the Churchill dilemma, it played out on Saturday morning. And many say the former pugilist, the former heavyweight champion pugilist, played it wrong. And the Churchill dilemma is this. You've broken the German code. You're informed one night that Coventry is your target. Do you, and I put it to you, Greg, Coventry is a target, and you know this because you broke the German code. Do you evacuate the town and risk the Germans figuring out that you, the only way you can know is if you broke their code, or do you let the bombs fall and make sure the police know to get people in shelters and all? I mean, what do you do?
You have to weigh the best bad option and move forward, because you're not just playing the myopic short game. You're also playing the long game. So if you tip over your hand and let them know you broke the code and you just prevent that one attack, then they're going to change the code, and then you will not prevent any future attacks. So you have to make that calculation. I don't know.
Churchill chose thusly. And it haunted him for the rest of his life, because that week on Life magazine in America, a toddler that survived the bombing with her face bandaged, badly injured. She lost an eye. That face was on the cover of Life magazine. And he saw it because he was wondering, how are the Americans, you know, helping us here? It's 1940. When are the Japanese going to attack already? And that's what people are saying Klitschko failed, was the Churchill test. Because now the Russians, because he went on Telegram and announced to the world, you know, I'm the elected mayor of Kyiv and part of the Kyiv Oblast, and look what I'm doing. I'm stepping up. And the people most pissed are the Ukrainian counterintelligence, because, as I've been saying, if you've been listening real close, the Russians are there's no Putin in OPSEC. They don't know what they're doing. They're this lazy and badly trained and badly disciplined. They're driving around occupied parts of Ukraine with unencrypted cell phones, talking on Ukrainian cell systems. There's no need for a super secret plane with a device called a dirt box orbiting above you. They're just handing it to you. They're talking. They're not even talking in code words. You know, when will the red rooster be in the hen house? Around 1900. He'll be in the Children's Hospital. And so anyway, that information was developed, and this amazing advantage that the Ukrainians have, you know, based on Russian laziness and stupidity. And who knows, by now, if they're any good, and they're not bad, I mean, the Russians, they will have figured out to send fake messages, to have two Yevgenys call, say, how's your sister? Not as bad as your mom. And then say, what's tonight's target? The subway in Odessa, right? But only when the kids are working there. And that's the other problem with doing this kind of thing. While morally he can look himself in the mirror and say, I saved kids, the attack was not, it didn't materialize as they thought. I mean, better, you know, to be cautious on the, discretion, the better part of valor and the whole thing, But that's what happened on Saturday morning, and no one in the American media knows how to take care of that. You know what's a bad look? When you're Seattle PD and you want to recruit a diverse cross-section of people, including more female officers, so you get your female PIO, who's cute as a bug and rug, to get up there and talk about all the stuff she's done. and only through Seattle PD, and boom, it explodes in your face like it did for Seattle on Saturday in a lawsuit. When we come back, also checking your texting. If your weekend was better than mine, and it wasn't, you can call in 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770 for a checking of your texting. Blinken in Israel, hippies in Colombia, back to 68, funny jokes being told by a guy who thinks his uncle was eaten by cannibals as he's at a dinner. And I would have had fun with that. But anyway, back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. Forgot to M770 KTTH Prime Suits here. So, that Five for Fighting guy apparently is a good guy.
John Androsic,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah. And Wall Street Journal today with an op ed about how the guy stands out because he's on stage in LA, in Hollywood, saying Hamas are evil. And yay Israel and other crazy controversial things like that. Just because some psychotic rapists beheaded babies, he's on their side. So I thought we could play Superman or something. Classic. And also, besides the fact that that's a good song.
Is that the I'm only a man in a pony regime?
Yeah. Well, anyway, time for a check-in of the texting, including some throwback hippie hate. Oh, I have a great interact with a hippie story from my childhood. Brian and producer Greg, good morning. I was a youngster back in 68 watching the TV news as the Chicago police beat the crap out of the protesters, watching and listening to my dad hollering at the TV for the cops to beat the ass of the hippies. Respect. Then you'll love this story. Okay, so because we lived in Honolulu, guess where all my hippie cousins, and I mean, they looked like Bachman Turner Overdrive, and they were Canadian.
Nothing wrong with BTO. And
so they're at UBC or Simon Fraser or one of those hippie universities, and they had a friend who was a draft dodger, okay, and Jimmy Carter forgave them, you know, years later. And he did come back to the United States, came back to Seattle, and he did answer his draft call up. So he bang, 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 goes to Vietnam. Two years later, he's on leave back in Hawaii, and he hatches a plan. And my cousins are really specific about, we want to start our summer break in June at your house, Uncle Bob and Aunt Dorothy. And so they're real specific about the time because one of their draft dodger friend is now on leave in Hawaii at Waikiki at Fort DeRussy, and he's going to desert. And my cousins are going to facilitate him flying back to Vancouver with them. And they announce their plan around our pool as if, and they're drinking my dad's Primo, and they're getting wind in their jaws about this. And then the guy shows up, and part of the reason he was in Hawaii that he deserted was so that he could grow his hair out and he could just claim to be a draft dodger or whatever when he landed at Vancouver International from Honolulu, right? So he's been there for 30, 40 days. He's got hippie hair, and he's even stinkier than a Canadian. And they're all, I remember this distinctly, back when men had no dignity and wore really short shorts. What the hell? Come on. And being a draft dodger is one thing. My dad, when we went to Vancouver, he could tolerate that. But being a guy bragging around my dad's pool about deserting, about, you know, his unit is in combat. He comes back on leave to Waikiki. When his leave is over, he doesn't report back, so he's now a deserter, and his plan is to be spirited back to Vancouver. So my dad, Navy corpsman, Okinawa veteran, Federal Aviation Administration employee, he goes and looks at their itinerary, and he drops a dime to the FBI, because this kid is now FBI problem or Army problem. And the FBI calls the Army and says, yeah, the guy's flight is Saturday morning at 0715 on TWA or Braniff or some non-existent airline now. And sure enough, in front of my cousins, their friend was rolled up by MPs. I mean, guys actually in Army uniform with little white, you know, hippie sticks and the whole thing. And they grab his hairy head and they put him in Army handcuffs. So the FBI
right to jail. Like,
yeah. And my cousins didn't talk to my dad for 20 years. The rift between them and him was so personal about that. And it was like Dad Hall of Fame right there. And my mom was kind of upset. And my dad's like, Dorothy, the kid is an American and he is a deserter. And he left his unit in time of war. And that's that. And he said, you know what they would have done to me if I'd said, I'm sitting Okinawa out. And that was the comeback was perfect. And that's why in the Dad Hall of Fame, Robert E. is going to be there. But my cousins, Marshall and Mike, were livid, just livid that their own uncle made the pool in Honolulu a place of hate and all that. And they of course, because they're Canadian, they never understood, because all their pot connections were all draft dodgers from Bellingham. And so, you know, it's all the pot they were getting from American draft dodgers, and the draft is really unfair anyway. And the whole thing, but that's my only memory from 1968, 69, 70 is that, is my cousins. It took them 2 years to come back, but I mean, Hawaii's Hawaii. And I mean, really, you know, winter in Vancouver, or you have an uncle in Hawaii, they forget. It took them about 2 years, but they forgave him.
With the Aloha spirit.
I have no idea what what happened if the kid would get remanded back to UCMJ. He'd be in front of an Army court martial, because he deserted his unit with the unit in the field downrange in Vietnam and was attempting to leave the country. I don't know how much hurt they gave the guy. I'd love to look the guy up. I forgot his name. Find out his name, look him up, and say, ha ha. Give him a big Nelson.
Text from the 206. Brian, if the student protests are really about getting the school to divest from anything to do with Israel, doesn't it make sense for those students just to divest themselves from the school if they're really unhappy with what they're doing? Shouldn't it be a bigger virtue signal for them to just leave the campus?
And that, by the way, vote with your own feet on that. Don't re-register at Columbia. Don't waste your parents' money. And guess who was there to check on her daughter? I think besides Name That Hippie, the new daily bit till further notice is, you know, this thing is on, right? So that's today's contestant in, you know, this thing is on, is Representative Ilhan Omar. And I don't get, if English is not your first language, how'd you pick that up? But anyway, the Anti-Defamation League has made her Jew hater of the month, pretty much. And this is her walking around with a mic in her face on the campus of Columbia, where she's a demigod. Amongst anti-Semites, she and Rashida Tlaib are minor demigods.
You think this will translate to the Jewish students who are facing anti-Semitism here on campus?
So I actually met a lot of Jewish students that are in the encampment. And I think it is really unfortunate that people don't care about the fact that all Jewish kids should be kept safe, and that we should not have to tolerate anti-Semitism or bigotry for all Jewish students, whether they are pro-genocide or anti-genocide.
Daniel Katz is...
She really... They're afraid to leave their dorm rooms, okay, because you're all pro-genocide. And she really said that they're pro-genocide. So, you know, even You know, all Jewish students are safe, according to Ilhan Omar, because whether they're pro-genocide or anti-genocide.
They pro-genocide or anti-genocide.
Daniel Katz is...
Oh, my God. But anyway, that's where I got it. I wish we had a Greek chorus. We need an intern of Greek chorus interns.
In response to that squad member, let's listen to...
And they would say, you know this is on, right? Or something like that. It would be like you got mossed.
What does America's favorite Democratic Republican have to say?
Of course, it's a great American value to protest, but I don't believe living in a pup tent for Hamas is really helpful.
That's the thing. Camp for Palestine.
Pup tent for Hamas.
And now, and where is it? The World Health Organization has finally admitted that Hamas numbers are lies. They're unreliable, you know, whatever, okay? So Gaza's Palestinian health authorities say they can no longer count all their dead because there's no number in Arabic for four or something. But anyway, that's their claim. And what they're prepping, according to sources in Israel, is that as Israel goes into Rafah, and they will because Biden said don't. They're going to do it because they're hearing don't as you and what army? Like, us and the IDF. Because they know there's more mass graves in there that Hamas has been telling the hospitals to not report the dead and bury them in long, scraped-out mass graves. And they could do this, but they're being really nice. They're being, I got to say, very selfless about the claims of genocide on this one, because Hamas are machine-gunning corpses post-mortem. And the cops can tell... The zebras in North Bend can tell, and the Israelis have them dead to rights on that one. But you're not going to see that or hear about that in the American media. When we come back, the new lawsuit against specifically naming Chief Adrian Diaz of the Seattle Police Department, sexual harassment, including their Exhibit A female officer. Not a happy day for them. People don't take this kind of thing very well. And have you ever been influenced by Mitch McConnell? Ever? I don't know. Maybe he's overstating his role on this one, but at least he tells CBS, get better researchers. That moment when we come back. A moment that I didn't hear on Friday. And here's the thing. At this point, I can't take anything Joe Biden says at face value, even about his own son, especially about his own son, late son, Beau. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here on your Monday morning, so you better be at work. I see it as 6:44, is that correct? Yeah. Because that one's not working, but that one is. I'm pointing, which is great radio.
6:44 and all is well.
Well, let the record show that on May 10th, 2022, I recorded this. I took it off of...
Getting involved...
Actually got it off of Facebook.
Getting involved with the community...
And I just thought it was funny the way that Detective Gilpin pronounced that. Okay, that was a cheap shot on May 10th, 2022. It was a cheap shot to this moment. And also, she's very good. Seattle doesn't deserve her to have a PIO that has complete answers and will answer questions plainly and all that. And so, therefore, I'm not even dragging it into the garbage. I'm going right-click and then pulling down delete. So there, it was a cheap shot. And part of what leads me to that personal growth is because Seattle PD does
walk a big game about the diversity and the whole thing. And according to a new lawsuit filed on Saturday, they're not talking that big game. And she's involved, and that's the end of my mention of it.
Four female Seattle police officers are accusing Chief Adrian Diaz and a top lieutenant of sexual harassment and discrimination.
They're seeking $5 million.
And you know what? They're against both of those things.
$5 million from the city of Seattle in a filing that precedes a potential lawsuit. It also alleges the chief and his top officer have created a hostile work environment. Come with senior reporter Chris Daniels live in Seattle with the allegations and reaction from the chief.
Shut up, Chris. Okay, so you all understand you make a notice of claim, and you put a dollar figure on there, and you say, and so therefore, yea, verily, and then Seattle says, nope, we'll see in court, and then they say, oh, well, what a coincidence. You want to read this document.
Yeah.
So this is the precursor to a lawsuit.
Preston, this complaint was officially filed with the city of Seattle late this afternoon. And what is interesting here is that the four female officers have been front-facing members of the police department, heavily involved in public affairs and in the recruiting efforts in the city of Seattle. But this afternoon, they are.
So you all understand, right? That's the face of your department, your county, whatever. When they sue you, you should be deeply embarrassed. I mean, like, the chief should have written a first draft of a certain letter last night, and he should be ready to hand it to the city council this morning. Is Sarah Nelson still the president of the city council? Or knock on the mayor's door and say, for the time being, you need to get a replacement chief. Because that, you talk about environment. And the fist stinking from the head down.
Are painting a darker picture of the department. The four women say the city allowed active sexism in the department and a hostile work environment to flourish under Diaz and Public Affairs Director Lieutenant John O'Neill, Kame Spencer, Jean Gulpan, Valerie Carson, and Lauren Truscott all allege predatory internal behavior in the complaint and that women were denied promotions after rebuffing interest by O'Neill and Diaz.
And I mean, there's another unspoken thing that you can't sue for, and it's just dumbassery. So you're identifying competent, articulate, well-spoken females to be your PIO at the murder scene or the OD or whatever. And then you're hitting on them. Not a good look. Not a good look. That's a subcategory of, you know, this thing is on.
I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say, not a good look.
Yeah. As the media creator, I'm just saying, If that's the story you're dealing with on this rainy Monday morning, that your spokesperson selected for all those factors that I said, and then, oh, by the way, you can't help but notice that some say she's easy on the eyes. And so that's who. It's just, how dumb are you on that one? You know, they need little infrared reflective badges that say do not hit on or something, like yellow tape. Gosh. Anyway, back to you, Chris.
Gulpan, up until recently, was featured on billboards advertising the department.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
And in recruiting videos distributed by the city. But she claims, among other things, she was routinely harassed on the job and passed over for a promotion. The plaintiff's attorney, Samir Singla, says the claims are related to a recent SPD internal study that showed frustration among female employees.
There was a 30 by 30 study that I've referenced before. That study anonymously had women over and over explain the culture of misogyny and sexism.
Okay, so anyway, do you need a flare with your red flag or what? I mean, and it doesn't matter if they ginned it up. It's now out there. It's now the pooch that you can't undoink, okay? It's spilled. The milk has been spilled. And so you can, I would say in this town in 2024, when we're talking about Harvey Weinstein, again, and picking at that scab, you might want to just check on your retirement, Chief Diaz. And I mean, there are many. Well, we won't go there. But I'm just going to say, there's a phrase, badge heavy, and it means cops who become cops because they want to be cops and all that. I'd say that when you're embarrassing your department, you've undone any good work that you did by some of those, you know, frankly, you know, pretty forward thinking, groundbreaking Facebook pages for recruiting, because Seattle has a recruiting problem, and it's not just some money and the relocation. There were Seattle PD had recruiting posters in Fenway Park in Boston years ago. I mean, there were people who said, wow, that's good money. Looks like a nice place. I'm going to relocate. And they got people to relocate here. But that's done. And I don't mean because of that, but I mean just the entire attitude. But I mean, that bell is rung. Also, the zebra bell is rung on that one. So last I heard, because I do sense I can use my radio powers to call a posse, and not because of the Monroe inmate that has not escaped and hasn't been found yet. But last I heard, there's one missing zebra.
Zebras on the loose in North Bend. Neighbors and law enforcement came together this afternoon to wrangle three of these animals that were free on the interstate, on I-90, in fact. Tonight,
but everyone put their phones away for that? Isn't that nuts? A plane can crash on takeoff, and there's video of it. Zebras on I-90 at North Bend?
Here, zebra, 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 zebra.
I don't get that. And I mean, it's like, what was Chris Rock's name in Madagascar? Morty? Marty?
He was a zebra. Marty.
Remember?
Yeah, Marty.
Yeah. Anyway, that's, to me, all zebras need that voice. But anyway, everyone says, oh, what? This is normal. I'm putting my phone away. How boring. Zebras on I-90.
One remains missing. Como's Jackie Kent has been tracking this for us. She's got reaction tonight from neighbors. And what's next in this most unusual case? I can't say I've ever heard of this, Jackie.
Yeah, Michelle, as you can imagine, this has been an exciting afternoon in North Bend. And I can tell you, we found out it was really a community effort to corral three of the four runaway zebras so far. We even talked to one woman who saw the zebras in her yard.
Oh, my God. I want to get in. And so, I mean, that's how I would be, too. And they had corralled them up before she got there. I'd be like, I'm going to track down that last zebra. That's a Murrow. That's a Murrow waiting to happen. A Seattle TV Murrow Award. But so anyway, it might have to be me. I don't know. But of course, that's why this story is why I can't wait to get back to North Bend.
Two of the four zebras are now in a trailer ready to be moved out of state. A third.
But the big question that is never asked is, who was moving the zebras and for what purpose?
Yeah, they escaped a trailer or something?
Yeah. Why were they in a horse trailer? Why weren't they in a zebra trailer?
Zebra, a baby or foal, was corralled on another street.
Or I don't know that she has to explain that a young horse is called a foal and a young zebra as well, foal. I want to get in.
Oh, in a trailer ready to be moved out of state. A third zebra, a baby or foal, was corralled on another street with help from a neighbor on a horse. That's according to State Patrol. Property owner Whitney.
You know, they call that North Bend Sunday. Okay, but except for the zebra part. But anyway, no word on whether or not the last one has been rounded up. But the dude that escaped Monroe Men's State Prison is still unfound. We'll get to that here in just a second. I want to see him riding against a zebra.
Something that's inevitably on the horizon, that is grizzly versus zebra.
Oh, I mean,
it's going to happen.
And that story was... I heard that nationally, by the way. Do people ride zebras?
I don't think so. I remember as a kid
thinking... I think that'd be a remarkably bad idea.
How fun that would be. Yeah, but I don't think that's possible.
It's like riding a giraffe or an elephant or something. But so anyway, yeah, dude escaped from Monroe, and I'll tell you how that goes and stuff like that. Also, the second OD in Burien in a week. Last week, the library. And this week, a street, and the city council came out and took pictures. Also, Colin Jost was the latest Democratic leg humper, Biden leg humper. How did that correspondence dinner go? We'll get to that and more stuff right after this. AM 770 KTTH.